Hello and welcome to episode 13 of The Night Feed. I'm your host, Charlotte, here to bring you some comfort, camaraderie and conversation to keep you company during, let's face it, one of the toughest parts of being a new parent, The Night Feed. Tonight's unpaid sponsor is the 4-month sleep regression. Just when you think you've got it all figured out and your baby is sleeping through longer stretches during the night, you feel like you go back to square one and you endure the 4-month sleep regression. Worse for some, better for others. I feel like we all go through it one way or another. I hope yours is brief and fleeting. But yeah, the 4-month sleep regression is definitely a thing. If you know, you know. I was listening to one of my favourite podcasts earlier, which is Catherine Ryan's. If you don't know, get to know. Love her. I think she's so honest and so unapologetic. And I think she's great. And she was talking about something really interesting, which I thought I'd share and see what your thoughts are. So she was saying about a male comedian who was on a few weeks ago, and he or his security or the venue had a breastfeeding mother thrown out of the gig. It turns out that she wasn't actually breastfeeding at the time when this happened, but she had a 7-month-old baby with her on her own watching this comedian. Now, my instant reaction to this story was, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine taking a 7-month-old to a comedy gig. Number one, because I don't think the baby would love being in that environment. And number two, I'd be petrified of causing a stir and you know, upsetting guests around me. I know how frustrating it is to go to a gig and have noisy people around you. It's not nice. And I think if you've paid money to go and see that person and there's a crying baby next to you, I can imagine being frustrated by that. And that's coming from a mother. I was interested by Catherine Ryan's take on this, though, because she is obviously a comedian and she's also a breastfeeding mum. And her take was quite different. She said she completely understands the noise thing. She gets it. You don't want to go out and hear this. But venues nowadays are becoming a lot more inclusive. And that's for, you know, those with disabilities. She said she had someone in her audience with Tourette's and they, you know, they were making noise intermittently throughout the gig. But being an inclusive person and an inclusive venue, she would never have dreamt of saying, can you leave my gig? And her take was, well, if you're a breastfeeding mother, you have anxiety leaving that baby for long stretches of time anyway. Especially around the 7 months age, they still need quite regular feeds. Okay, not as much as when they're newborn. But her argument was, if you've had a baby and you've booked to go to a gig, your favourite comedian's touring and you've been desperate to see them, you don't want to leave your baby at home because you wouldn't enjoy the gig because you'd be worried about them needing a feed. And some babies don't take bottles, remember? You know, you might be thinking, well, just give them a bottle while you're out. Some babies that are breastfed won't take the bottle. So Catherine Ryan's argument was, well, if you're going out, if you're a breastfeeding mum and you really want to see this gig, then why can't you be included within that inclusivity bracket with the people that maybe have Tourette's or with the people that have a disability that means they need extra help getting into the venue? Her argument was, yeah, why can't that mum be there at the gig with a baby? And I think if you know your baby's going to sleep through and you are able to get up when the baby cries and take yourself out and you're happy to do that, maybe. I still personally think it's a stretch. I mean, for me, my personal opinion is I wouldn't take my babies to that environment anyway at that age, personally. I think it's not nice for the baby and it's not nice for you and it's not nice for the people around you. That experience would make me too uncomfortable. Obviously, when you're a breastfeeding mother, you're only going to do it for a certain amount of time. Whereas if you've got a disability, that you have that for life and you shouldn't be excluded from these things. I completely agree with that. Whereas breastfeeding is for a season. And if you can wait to see that person, that would be my view on it. But yeah, I thought it was an interesting talking point. I thought it was an interesting take from a fellow breastfeeding mum who completely understands the mother's part, but also gets the audience part. It's a tricky one. But yeah, let me know what you think. Now on to a question for my podcast. I found this question in a forum on Reddit and I thought it's quite a topical debate. And the question is anybody else not posting their babies on social media? Now, mine and my partner's personal stance on this is we shared one or two posts when they were born, and that's pretty much it. We share the odd story post on birthdays, but apart from that, our decision's been to predominantly keep them off social media. We don't post often at all about them, and that's just our personal stance. So let's go to the comments. One person said they use the family album app. They avoid putting their kids on social media, and they say this is a great way to share pictures with very specific family members who you have to invite. So you can upload a portion of the pictures and it kind of turned into a curated archive, and it sorts the pictures into months so you can see progression, etc. But they say, other than that, I'm not okay with sharing on social media at all. Someone else said, I work in tech and I love social media, but absolutely refuse to post my child. Somebody else said, yes, I don't post on social media, and had to have a very strong word with my Facebook obsessed mother-in-law that the photos are not to be posted online. So far, she's complied. This person said, for me, it's a privacy and consent issue. I would not want my entire childhood documented for strangers to see. Someone's put, I do maybe once a month. I'm not very active on Instagram. I apply the same rule to baby photos, and usually my face is also in the photo I post. I have a very private account and I didn't think there was a way to bypass this. It's an individual preference, much like anything. So if you don't want to share, you don't have to. Some people like oversharing, and if that makes them happy, then that's up to them. And then somebody else has put, I'm one of those mums who posts their kids all the time. All my socials are private, but I'm aware that there are ways around that. However, I only post specific pictures of them, so obviously never bath time or compromising or anything like that. And I respect parents who don't wish to post their children, but I love posting mine. So there's just a few comments on that debate. What do you personally think? Do you share them or do you not? I think it's quite topical, isn't it? It's something that our parents didn't have to deal with, and it is something we have to deal with, and it's whether you decide to take a firm stance of no, whether you're in the middle or whether you like to share and that makes you happy. You're the parent, ultimately. It's your decision. They're your children. And I suppose it's just being wary, I guess, about where those pictures are going and who can see those pictures and who you are comfortable with seeing those pictures. That family app sounds like quite an interesting alternative. Everyone has their own personal opinion, and that's okay. Whatever you choose as a parent, it's entirely up to you, isn't it? I just thought that was quite an interesting question. Now onto social media says, talking of social media, this is a quote that says, be the parent who cares more about how their child is feeling than what other people in the room are thinking. I love this. I really, really completely agree with it. And you can find yourself in social situations sometimes where your child may not be enjoying themselves. And I'm very much in the boat of whatever my child thinks or feels is my priority. Yes, they can have their moments where they're having a meltdown or a bit of a tantrum, and you have to deal with that, obviously. But I never want my children to feel like they're in an awkward position and they can't express that to me. And yeah, I think that's really important in social situations when you're out and about, if you can visibly see that something's making your child feel awkward or upset, then I personally make that the priority and make sure they're okay. Yeah, and I think it can be easy to get carried away in the atmosphere and the vibe and when you're with people. And I just think it's always good to obviously know how your child's feeling and if they're comfortable in a situation. Because kids are very good at expressing themselves, aren't they? Especially toddlers, if they're not content, they let you know. And yeah, I just feel like that helps them potentially later in life. If you make them feel comfortable in those situations and know that you've got their back, then I personally think that brings their confidence out. You know, they know that they can go into these social situations and the parents know what they're feeling and they've got their back. And if they need to tell the parents that they're not comfortable, the parents are there backing them up. And I think that probably brings them out more in a sense, and it gives them more confidence. I'm not a psychologist. That's just my personal take. So yeah, I think that's really interesting, is putting your children's feelings before anyone else's, even if it makes you feel awkward and even if you've got to tell a stranger not to do something or, you know, put your foot down a little bit. As long as it's not completely unreasonable, of course, I think that's okay. Next tonight is self-care suggestion. And tonight is to buy a magazine. I never, hardly ever do this. But if we go away, sometimes I'll pick one up in the airport. And I really enjoy reading, flicking through a magazine. It's something I think in the social media age, we don't really do, isn't it, as much. But get yourself to the shop, pick up a magazine and grab a cuppa while the baby naps and just have a flick through, and it'll stop you doom scrolling as well on your phone. And now to finish on a quote that I wrote. Hello, Mama, it's me, the baby who consumed you with love the second you saw the positive test, who you watched grow on the black and white screen, whose tiny feet kicked the insides of your tummy. I'm here now, in your arms, keeping you awake at night. But despite the tiredness, you drink every inch of me in through your weary eyes. The love, comfort, and care you have given me in these early weeks has made me thrive. The tiredness will pass, Mama, as I grow. Stay strong and enjoy my cuddles whilst I still fit in your arms. Thanks for listening tonight, everyone. Wishing you all a peaceful, restful night ahead. Remember to try and switch off as much as you can when the baby sleeps. I know it's difficult in the night, once you've been up feeding, to switch back off again. But once baby's back down, really concentrate on clearing your mind and getting those really precious hours of sleep in, especially in the early days. I know how precious that sleep is, and I hope you get lots tonight. Good night.